I might be a little proud of these guys. You guys want to stand? You want to see them? All right. There's some of them. I don't know if they're scattered around. Got my shirt on. I'm so proud of these young men and young women and Eli and Dale and everybody that went, not just for how they played, and they won a championship. And this first time I've seen a team win without any varsity football players on the team. The only one we had spent the whole year on crutches. but I'll tell you what, they went down there and made a showing, not only on the field, but truly, I mean this, off the field, encouraging each other, supporting each other, playing as a team, and they represented you, and most importantly, Jesus, in a fantastic, mighty way. So I love you guys, and thank you, and appreciate you, and congratulations for that. And probably the best story that came out of Impact, some of you are involved in Feed the Team. On Thursdays during the football season, we feed Springstead and Central High School up in Building B. And Joey Granowski, who's sitting here on the second row, he played for Springstead, and he's eaten up there many, many times. And he's come through. He's gotten involved with the Impact Team the last 2 years and then the youth group. And last Sunday, after second service, Joey was baptized into Christ right up there. So, yep. You know, that's really what this is all about, and actually, as we think about it and reflect on it, I know they would agree with me, each and every person, all of our high school students, and everybody, that we just want to thank you guys. I want to celebrate with you and thank you for investing in our young people, in our high school students. Eli, you might not know this, Eli and the group just got back from a middle school trip yesterday. 25 middle schoolers went to Kissimmee, so he's made those announcements on about no sleep. So anyways, man, middle school kids, back in expedition kids and in the preschool, y'all are investing in the future and in the present and what God is doing here. And not just the young people, but each and every one of you. It's amazing to see what God is doing with what you have given and what you continue to give. We're talking about generosity, your tithes, your offerings, your service, the way that you give and set examples. It's resulting in lives being changed. Being changed here in this place and in our community and around the world. You know, last week, Josh McGrew, he came up and he talked about how God trusts us with our resources. He used the word stewardship. And he talked about how God trusts us with the things that he's given us, our time, our talents, the tithes, our money, and those kind of things. All for his glory. And the fact is that when we trust God with everything in life, amazing things usually happen. Not always championships, although that's pretty sweet, but amazing. If the smiles on the faces. I mean, God does amazing things when we trust him. And that's what we're going to talk about today for a few minutes. We're going to talk about how the God who wants you to know him, the God who wants you to know him responds. He responds when we trust him. He responds. No one knew this better probably in history than the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote many books in the New Testament. In fact, I'd invite you to go there. Go ahead and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you have your Bibles. If not, lean over to the person next to you. Maybe they'll help you find it. It's also in your sermon notes. So if you have your bulletins, you can open those up. And this passage is in there and will be on the screen as well. The Apostle Paul's life was a model of trust. And in this particular letter, the second letter to the Corinthian Christians, he was going through some tough times. And he had received encouragement from this church. And it was really cool, especially in the area of generosity. And I love chapter 9 because it specifically teaches God's people to be generous. And not only that, but how God responds when we are generous. In this case, it was the Corinthians being generous towards Paul. To us today, it would be how God responds to us as we live and we give generously. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. I just want to read them to you. Verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. God is saying if we give a little, we're going to get just a little back. But if we give a lot, we're generous, then we can expect to get more in return. And listen to what he says. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly. See, God responds. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. responds through us. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. And now he, meaning God, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, thank you, God, for bread. Bread for food also supplies and increases your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. God has a response as he enlarges this, not just financially. This isn't what it's talking about much at all. It's talking about righteousness. And he says this, I love this. You will be enriched, not made rich, but enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Can't help thinking about Paul's words. I just thank you for your generosity and how we're grateful. That's what it results in. It's amazing. So when we trust God, when he responds, We trust him with love and he responds lovingly. It says he loves a cheerful giver. When we trust him with generosity, God responds generously. When we respond, when we trust him by blessing others, he responds with blessings. The God who wants you to know him supplies. He enriches. He enlarges so that we can be generous, thankful people. You see, all of this is really for our own good. When we talk about being generous, it makes our world a better place, especially when it is being used for God's good work. In fact, that's probably one thing that separates Christians from every other nonprofit organization in the world, is that we're doing this for God's own good and his glory, not our own. The truth is, we give out of love. We do, don't we? I mean, don't you give out of love? Don't you give to the things that you love? Jesus said this in Matthew 6:21, where our treasure is, our heart is also. And if we love God and if we love his church and we love his good work first, it's going to show. It's going to show in our lives. It's going to show in the way that we spend our money. It's going to show in the way that we trust him with everyday decisions that we make. When we trust him, he responds. I can't help thinking about our CCW members, those of you who have joined our church. You've been to foundations, you've heard this before, but we expect our members to tithe, to give 10% of their income. Can you imagine that? I mean, why would we do that? And some even give more generously. It's amazing, but we see God responding. In fact, he responds through thank yous from the community. We get those all the time. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. Sometimes he responds through missionaries, being able to reach people in parts of the world that we won't go. Sometimes, and we know this, God responds as simply as providing a building where everything works. We've got air conditioning and lights on. Don't you like that? That's how this goes. God is just, he responds. Bagels and coffee and cookies and, I mean, all this stuff doesn't just boof, you know? I mean, it comes from somewhere. We've got a gym we can hang out during the week. We have talented staff and people volunteering with our kids. I mean, look around. God is blessing and has blessed your generosity. Look, I personally know that God blesses and responds to generosity when I serve him and when I give him, when I trust him. It may come through a hug or a thank you or a smile as I open the door for somebody or go out of my way to help someone. You know what I'm talking about. God responds to those things. Maybe even a perfect stranger, maybe an answered prayer, or maybe a financial surprise, like specifically a lower electric bill, or an unexpected check in the mail, or an increase in the family business. Praise God. Look, I found that when I'm faithful, he does exactly what 2 Corinthians 9 says that he will do. He responds, because our God is faithful. Today's a little bit different. I want to invite a couple friends of mine to the stage. I'm going to invite them to come. And as they come, I'm going to say some things about them. But they're going to come up here and they're going to tell you how they know that God has responded to the trust. They happen to be elders here at CCW. Super proud to be their friends and to be able to serve with them. And you might know them as well. So I want to introduce them to you. And as they come, we'll be able to recognize them. And they're going to take their place on the stage. First, I want to welcome Glenn Gnadek. Glenn, come on up. This is Glenn. His wife, Sandy. Sandy, go ahead and stand. I know you love it. Sandy, stand up. Good job. Glenn and Sandy have been married for 38 years. They've got two kids, two grown kids. And they actually came to know and know and love and follow Jesus here at CCW. Glenn leads multiple men's groups and different things around here. He pastors men and helps out with Financial Peace University when it's offered. Glenn, I might as well tell him. He's also a big superhero guy. So one day we're going to make an opening night because he's going to get the tickets before the movie comes out. All right. So is that
always.
Cool? Always. Always gets a movie. So if you're a superhero guy, there's your guy. Meanwhile, we got the science fiction guy over here, Frank Chaparino. Where's Frank? Here's Frank Chaparino. And Jan. Is Jan here this time? Nope. Frank and his wife Jan have been married for 44 years. He's a proud father of three sons. Frank is retired from the New York Department of Corrections, 31 years. You might not know he's from New York, but you will in a couple minutes. He's a dear friend. He leads a lot of small groups around here, mentors men, and a lot of people know him as the pickleball guy. The pickleball guy. You don't want to play Frank in pickleball, right? Unless you're Dale, because he can beat you?
Yep.
Yep, okay. I just want to make sure he kind of knew that. I also want to welcome Patrick Haas. Patrick, come on up. Patrick. And Stephanie, you can stand too, Stephanie. There's Stephanie. Patrick and Stephanie have been married 21 years. They have two teenage kids. He works at Castriata Chevrolet, and he leads multiple small groups as well, mentors men, and is a dear friend. And what he probably doesn't want me to tell you, I'll go ahead and say it out loud, is that recently Patrick took a demotion at work on purpose so that he could volunteer more hours here at CCW. So, and he likes volleyball a little bit, so he's kind of that guy. Now, if you go online and you listen to first service, Chris Freeman, another one of our elders, was sitting here where Patrick is. So in case you're confused, if you go back looking for what Patrick is about to say, you'll hear Chris. All right. So, yeah, they're not the same guy. He didn't do an impression. But I really love these guys. It's amazing to be able to serve with men of God like this. And you know this, and probably many, many others of you could be up here right now. But I know they have some special things to share. And what you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but this is the last message in our series, The God Who Wants You to Know Him. This is it. Next week, we're going to start another series called Hall of Faith, and you don't want to miss it. So come back next week. We're real excited about it. But over the last number of weeks, we've been talking about the attributes of God. And I'm just wondering if you guys might be able to share with us maybe one attribute or one message that stands out to you or you'd like to share with us regarding our series. Glenn, you want to go first?
The sermon series you did, or sermon you did a few weeks ago on the God who always guides, that he's always there. He's always guiding everybody, others to help us and us to help others.
Yeah. It's especially true in your testimony, I know. Yep. We'll hear a little bit about that later. Yeah. Thank you, Glenn. Frank?
I just want to mention this first. It's important to know that all these sermons are on a website. And if one particular man up here makes mention of a specific sermon, I would encourage you to maybe listen to it again. December 3rd, Dave Pardue, he did the sermon, The God Who Is Just and Judge. It was a huge impact to me. You know, when Dave is up here, and I'm not minimizing any of the other pastors who come up here, but when Dave's up here, you feel like he's in your living room sharing story with you. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
And we all pray for a speedy recovery. He shares a story. If you go to the December 3rd sermon, he shares a story about a young couple coming to the church for the very first time. And the girl was pregnant with her first child. He introduced them to some young couples, and he wanted them to be friendly. One night, he gets a phone call that after the birth of their child, the baby died. You remember that? So I see some of you shaking your head. Dave immediately went to the house, walked into the apartment. There was the EMT. There was some police. There was some people standing around. And one of the things that Dave remembered was the heartache. The story goes that she was nursing the child in bed and fell asleep and smothered the child. The question came, how could God let this happen? I know many of us go through trials and tribulations. We say the same thing, don't we? How could we let this happen? Dave responded, God is just and fair. And even though I don't understand it, he does. And then he quoted a scripture, 1 Peter says, we suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And these things, that your faith may prove genuine and bring glory and praise to God.
Hmm. Yeah, thanks, Frank. You take good notes. Tell you what, go back. Yeah.
For me, I really love the top set where we talk about how powerful God is and how he's always near and how he always knows everything. And just to know that we serve a God that has all those attributes and says, come talk to me, let's have a conversation, and wants you to know him, that's just kind of humbling for me. But I'm a little biased towards one because I did preach on the God of love, so I did some extra homework on that one. But that was kind of my favorite. And the reason why is I think love encompasses a lot of the other attributes there. I mean, if love conquers all, and we have a God that's so loving, if we just understood, I think, how much we were loved by God, it would make it so much easier to love other people. And so that was kind of one of my favorites there.
Yep, great. Thank you, guys. Yep, appreciate it. And today, we're talking about the God who responds to our trust. So I'm wondering if there's one way that you've seen this happen in your life, where you've trusted the Lord and you've seen him respond to you in maybe a specific, even financial way. That'd be cool, too. So is there a way that you have seen God respond to you when you've trusted him? So, Glenn, you go first.
Back in 2008, well, start before that, when we moved down here in 2006, Sandy and I are blessed to have had a neighbor who was listening to the Holy Spirit as they were guided to be prepared for us. In 2008, we were going through a huge financial struggle. Getting ready to basically lose everything, and we didn't have a relationship with the Lord. What started out as coming here to Building B, although that was the main building at the time, but we did the Dave Ramsey class for 13 weeks, and we really at the end of that we thought that had changed our lives. We had no idea what was coming next. About 5 months later, we actually started attending church here. And immediately after that, as a matter of fact, that first day here, I was given this awesome Bible. It's my backup Bible, just had to show you. But I actually started doing something I hadn't done before, which is reading the Bible. Within a few months, realized how lost I was and what it was going to take for Sandy and I to be found, to be saved. And that is, accepting Christ, being baptized. After that, the next thing that popped up was that we needed to trust. We needed to trust in him in everything. We needed to be trusting with the limited funds that we had. We were doing better with our money, but we still didn't have anywhere near the income that we needed to have. Sandy was trying to find a job. My son, who was living with us at the time, was trying to find a job. And the career I've had for 33 years now just was paying me about 20% of what I would normally be making. But still, I read that, and it was a fun conversation when I came home and talked to Sandy about the fact that we needed to give 10%, that we needed to tithe. But after we got done talking, we trusted. We wrote that check. Although I'm, a little embarrassed, but that first Sunday we accidentally, on purpose, forgot to put it in the box. It came back home with us, but we didn't do anything with it, and we didn't need anything. We survived another week, so we did put it in. And the next month came around, and we wrote another check. And within about a week, or 10 days after that second tithe check, Sandy got a job, our son got a job, and I started closing deals like we were before, and we haven't looked back. And I get paid once a month, so we sit down once a month. Matter of fact, it was yesterday. Yesterday was our budget day. Sat down and did it. The first thing we do is our tithe, our 10%. And it's not just it. I think back to that. I think back to the neighbor who was trusting in his time and tithing of his time and being there. And I urge everybody to be doing the same thing. You know, it's not just tithing with our money. It's our time.
Yeah, I really appreciate you saying that, because sometimes we think it is. And that is a great way to trust and should be. But yeah, just to go out of your way for a neighbor, even when, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I get this tunnel vision and I think, not now. And God might say, hey, come on. You know, like, so that's why you're here. So praise the Lord for that. Yeah, thanks, Glenn. How about you, Patrick? You're looking at Frank. I'm just going to call on you.
I'm going to turn. I thought we were in order. You know, it's about trusting and obeying God. So we found ourselves, every time we obeyed God in something, we trusted him in something, he always seemed to provide. And so, like Glenn, I remember when Steph and I were first starting this thing off and we were young and we had a little bitty house we lived in and made no money. And I remember one time we sat down and we're doing our budget and we had $7 left and we hadn't even figured out groceries yet. And we were like, okay, how's life even going to happen? And so I come home from work one day and I said, Steph, we need to start tithing. Which you can imagine what that conversation looked like when we have $7 for groceries and we're going to talk about giving 10% to God. But we went out on faith and we trusted God. And since to this day, we always joke because we can't go back and put a pen to paper and figure out how God provided. I can't make it happen mathematically, but he did. And, you know, it sometimes doesn't always look like money when God says, you know, he'll provide. It doesn't always look like money. Sometimes it's a peace of mind. And sometimes it's just a peace that goes over you. You know, I liken tithing to being on a roller coaster. You get on this roller coaster and all your buddies have been telling you it's really super cool and you should do it. And so you get there and you have this nervous, you know, you wait in the line for an hour or whatever it's at. And then you have this ascent, right? And you get to the top and you're nervous and you're strapped and you're thinking about all the things that can go wrong, right? What if this? What if that? What if this? And so those same things happen in our lives, don't they? I mean, what if this happens? What if the car breaks? What if? But you get to the top, you have that first fall and it's awesome. Now you're loving it, right? It's a fun ride. But there's still stuff happening. You still have peril coming to the next corner. You're going upside down. All these loops are still happening, but you're strapped in and you're enjoying the ride. And so for us, we love it. We think it's like a roller coaster. There is things that happen in our lives. Cars break down. Refrigerators go out. I mean, those things happen. But we understand who's in control of all that. And it's because we just don't have to worry about money. That's not something we choose to worry about. So for us, it's like yours, Glenn, where we just choose to not be in charge of money. God's in charge of that. And while all these things are happening, he's still in charge. So we trust him.
Yeah, we trust him. Yeah, appreciate that. And definitely made me want to go to Busch Gardens with you.
Yeah, that's right. We'll do it.
Ride roller coasters. Yeah, it is pretty cool. And to understand that God's not, and Chris said this first service, not a slot machine. This isn't talking about, hey, if I give, I'm going to get and get and get. It's so that we can be generous towards others. And that's one thing I appreciate about all of you, really. And Patrick, I've seen it in your life that you give back. And God's blessing you because of that.
It's fun.
Appreciate it. Yep, it is fun. It is. Frank, how about you?
Before I get into my little bit of a story, I just want to share, CCW is very unique. It's the only church that I know that doesn't pass around an offering plate. I talked to my son, who is a pastor of a church, and he says, you what? I said, well, there are strategic locations throughout the church that there are boxes, and people freely give. And I'm excited because it's not preached or talked about. You don't see an offering plate going around here, but people freely give. And God has provided. And I want to say thank you to you folks, as Joe said, that you have provided funds so we could keep this place going. 25 years ago, my debt exceeded my income. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but at the end of the month, we had to say or make a decision what we're paying and what we're not. And as Christians, I said to my wife, are we living this godly life where we're trusting in God? And if you know me, you know I like a process. And I know these guys have shared a bit. But we went to Barnes & Noble, and my wife's a big fan of Barnes & Noble. This is all before Amazon was in vogue. And I see some of you shaking your heads. And we picked up the book called Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. And he's a godly man who has some godly principles. By the way, I believe the book is in our resource center and in our library. So if you'd like, you should go check it out and you may want to continue doing it. He mentions seven baby steps. Very simple. And if you follow them, you could get out of debt. Well, 10 years ago, we started working, 25 years ago, we had discussion about this. And it wasn't a fun discussion, by the way. I could tell you that finances is a bone of contention. Because I had my way, she had her way, and Dave Ramsey had his way. But thank God we came to some kind of resolution, because once we started doing it, 10 years before we moved to Florida, we were debt-free. Hmm. And I praise God for that this morning. Yeah. Because that enabled us to tithe and give generously. And you want to know something? You can never outgive God. As we gave generously and we tithe, He rewarded us. And I praise God for that this morning.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks, Frank. Yep. It's true, He does. I mean, He responds, and you guys are models of that. So as we wrap up today, just kind of one thing that, you know, maybe briefly, or, you know, we got a couple minutes left. Maybe there's a challenge or an encouragement you'd like to give to CCW just right now. Just one thing that you would say to all of us, to everyone here today, that would encourage us or maybe challenge us in this way of knowing that God responds when we trust Him. I don't know who wants to go first. All right.
The beginning of Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Mm. That being still, that's hard for us to do, especially in today's world. There's so much stuff going on. But having the calmness to sit back and look at what God's trying to guide us to do. The Holy Spirit's trying to guide us to do stuff, I promise you. And it ain't running around. It ain't running around, be crazy. Because, thank God that my neighbor was being still and listening, because that's what started me on the path of the right direction here.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Glenn. Yep.
I'll be brief. James 2:4 talks about testing your faith, and faith develops perseverance. I want to encourage you this morning, put your faith and trust in God, and He'll develop your perseverance and make you a better Christ-like man and woman.
Mm, thank you.
Yeah. I agree with Frank. I think trust in God is the key. If we were going to trust God with our salvation, why would we not trust Him with what we've got here is the bigger question. So if that is the struggle we have, which is okay, most of us start off somewhere not trusting in God and our finances. My challenge to you is test God. There's one time in Scripture where God says, test me. And it's in Malachi chapter 3, and He's talking about test me with your finances, with your tithe, and see if He doesn't provide. He always has. I mean, he's a man of His word, and He doesn't lie. And so if I'm going to trust Him with my salvation, I'm going to trust Him with everything I've got here too. And it's just like I said, it's a fun roller coaster ride. God has shown up over and over and over. Sometimes it's monetarily, sometimes it's a peace of mind, sometimes it's a peace that passes all understanding. So test Him.
Yep. Awesome. Good. Yeah, it's kind of crazy, but God passes tests. I mean, you know, over and over and over again. That's what we're talking about today. He responds. He responds when we trust in Him. I don't know if y'all believe that. I hope so. I mean, we sing to Him, we pray, we come to worship together, and you need to know when you're here, man. We worship a God who is loving and a God who is generous. So it shouldn't be any surprise to us when He responds lovingly and generously, you know, back to His kids. That's what I love about it. And if you just think about it and respond in love, and it's worship, really worshiping God, and a generous God that's generous to us, this is not a have-to thing. This is a want-to thing. It's something we want to do. We want to give. We want to be a part of something bigger than us and something that God is doing in ways that we can't do individually, but we can do together. And that's what is so powerful about this. When I hope that when you come to CCW, when you are part of this congregation and you support God's work here, it's because you love the Lord first. You love God, and that's why you're here, because you want to, because we are a family, because God is changing lives, as I mentioned earlier, changing lives here in this place and in our community and around the world, because we give and because we're generous. He is responding. Our mission is to go and to make disciples of all nations, to baptize and to teach. And we're going to keep doing that. I want you to be a part of what He's doing. He is responding to that because it's His mission, not our mission, in this place and everywhere we could possibly go. If you are generous, I just want to thank you again. I want to thank you for being a part of what God's doing and for trusting Him generously. And if you're not, and if you don't understand what that means, I hope that you will. I hope that you'll think about it, pray about it, because I promise He will respond. in ways you never imagined or dreamed of. That's the God that we know. That's the God who wants you to know him. He responds to our trust. And you can trust him today. You can trust him with your life. That's what he wants most of all. And as you trust him with your life, you can trust him with your things and with your finances and with your time and with the abilities that you have. And he will put them to use for every good work that he has in store for you. Trust him with your everything and see how he responds. You will not be disappointed, I promise. He promises. We're going to close today with this song. It's called Trust in You. This is going to be our closing prayer. So I want you to sing it to him. Let's go ahead and stand together. Midge and the group are ready. It's called Trust in You. These guys are going to be up here. They'll talk with you, pray with you. We'll be right up front here if you'd like to discuss anything that was talked about. But right now, just kind of make this a prayer between you and the Lord that you will trust in him. Let's sing together. Let's sing.